Hello, Africa. This is Let's Talk. It's a show where we take a lighthearted look at everyday life, the day-to-day issues you care about. I'm your host, Sunday Shomari, in Washington. Today, World Cup 2014 in Brazil.
132 goals in the first round alone. That was a record, I think, in the past maybe five World Cups or so.
Yeah.
And eventually, in the end, it tied the 98 World Cup with the most goals. You know, who doesn't love goals, you know?
They're splashing the water on Copacabana Beach. And you could see the water rising all across Copacabana Beach. And they're comparing Pele to Maradona. They're saying that Argentina has won more trophies under Maradona than Brazil ever did with Pele.
The FIFA World Cup is an international association of football competition contested by senior men's national teams of around the world. The championship has been awarded every 4 years since the inaugural competition in 1930, except in 1942 and 1946, when it was not held because of the Second World War. The current champions are Germany, who won their title this year's tournament in Brazil. And tonight on Let's Talk, we explore this tournament, of course, in our usual light-hearted manner, so please stay tuned. Well, first welcome to the show, my colleagues Henok Fente and Bello Gladanchi, and our intern Doris Waweru. World Cup is tonight's topic here on Let's Talk. World Cup has always had a lot of fun and enthusiasm in any country, and usually people always can't wait for the moment to arise.
I spoke to Denzel Musumba, a radio host and co-owner of Border Media Group in Maryland, and I wanted to know
what he remembers most in this year's tournament.
Yeah, I can say actually it was a very, very tremendous, beautiful World Cup. Though we were expecting, you know, you heard what was going on before the World Cup started. There were so many demonstrations over there due to poverty level, you know, a lack of jobs, education for the people. There were some slums there whereby we even had stadiums built in some areas that were basically, you know, for the poor people. So we thought maybe it's going to be a disaster, but, you know, it ended well. And also I want us to always remember that Brazil is one country that has very, very beautiful people, you know, like this girl, let me say women. So there's also another issue of prostitution.
Yes,
you know?
Sir.
There are so many people, I'm pretty sure, who travel to Brazil, not really for the World Cup alone, but also to experience, you know,
the beauty of the country and the beauty of the people.
Exactly. And it's also a country that, you know, there's something unique about this World Cup, you know. It was hosted in Brazil, a country that is led by a woman. And the champions are Germany, a country that, you know, is also led by a woman.
Yeah.
So it's power to the women. That's what I can say.
Power to the women, girl power.
it's power to the women. They actually deserve that. And I can assure you that it's a challenge for most African countries that, hey, why don't we give women? And also, we were talking about another scandal. It's all over the news. People are talking about how much money was maybe misused when it comes to, you know, building these stadiums, preparing for the World Cup. So there's investigations going on right now in Brazil.
Wow.
But we had the president saying, hey, nothing happened. We used the money well. We even had to beat the deadline. They were saying, oh, the stadiums won't be ready. Mm-hmm. But everything went on well. And also, I think there's another issue whereby a bridge, I think, collapsed, you know, like 3-4 days. And this is the main road headed leading to the stadium. So maybe there was a rush in constructing these facilities. But I thank God everything ended well. Though my team didn't win, but, you know.
Which was your team, sir?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I was supporting Belgium. I was supporting African nations, any country from Africa, but when we were all eliminated, I remained with Belgium. And what happened next? You know, my Belgium team was actually eliminated.
Right.
Yes.
But guess what, though? As you said, this was a unique World Cup led by a country that is led by a woman. And finally, yes, a champion came out from a country as well led by a woman. A very good point. And some people went to Brazil just because they want to see the beauty of the ladies, not just the World Cup. And as you said, these people are so civilized because we remember the demonstrations before the World Cup. And guess what? When Brazil lost 7 goals, we said, oh my God, maybe this country will go into fire and chaos. But guess what? The guys were still there, resilient, happy, supporting others, and even congratulating Germany. So, my goodness.
And also, let me say, just to add on what you said, I agree with, because most people, even if you checked on the social media, people were tweeting on Facebook, you know.
This was the most tweeted event in history.
Saying, oh my goodness, Brazil has lost. You know, it's going to be a disaster. We don't even think that the finals will take place. But what happened? Everything went on well. Right. And also, to add on this issue, there are also nice places to go in Brazil, you know, like the weather in Amazon, the Amazon forest and all that, you know, you talk about nice beaches.
And the
very good, the
Copacabana Beach.
Yes, you can imagine. And in fact, I'm now excited that I want to visit Brazil, even if it's after the World Cup.
Really?
Definitely will make sure that I visit Brazil. And talk about the finals. We have Germany versus Argentina. I want to assure you that almost maybe 99% or maybe the highest percentage of Brazilians were not supporting Argentina.
I know.
They're all from the same continent.
And they're big rivals too.
Exactly. So I think it went on well. The Brazilians got another you know, present by seeing Germany win the cup and not Argentina.
Right. Thank you, Denzel Musumba, a radio broadcaster from Kenya. Back to you guys in studio.
And I want to start with my colleague, Henok Fente, who came all the way from Brazil. Henok, tell us, man, how was the events apart from the soccer pitch? I know there's been a lot happening outside the soccer pitch. The Copacabana Beach, the people from the streets, the Sao Paulo area. Tell us, man, how was the parties?
You said it. You know, when I left for Brazil, I knew this was going to be the best World Cup of our youth. And, you know, the next one being in Russia and then the one after in Qatar, it's going to be interesting, but it's not going to be Brazil. Because in Brazil, football is not sport. It's a religion.
Wow.
People love this game. They gather around it. The families get together, friends get together. You go to the bars. You talked about Copacabana Beach.
Yes.
Let me share a little bit of memory from Copacabana
Beach.
Please
tell us what was going on in Copacabana Beach.
Let me describe Copacabana Beach. Okay. Copacabana Beach is this beautiful stretch of sand and beautiful water.
Uh-huh.
And it's also a shopping mall. You sit down, you go to Copacabana Beach, you rent a chair for about $5. Sit down, somebody brings you...
At the beach?
Yes.
Wow.
Somebody brings you some nicely cooked shrimp.
Any burgers? I like burgers. I'm American, you know?
No place for burgers. Okay. But if you want something that looks like a burger, there's this thing called acarajé, which is from the north. It's African-influenced food from the northern part of Brazil. It's some dry fried dough, and then it has all sorts of goodies. But seafood is what goes in it. It's absolutely delicious. So if you like acarajé, it's right there for you. They bring you beer while you're sitting on your chair. They sell you fake jerseys from African teams to Macy's jersey, which I bought for
fake
50 reals.
Made in China 50? Or made in Nigeria?
I'm not going to make any speculations on that.
But all you know is a fake jersey. That's all you can tell us.
You can buy pretty much anything you want, and you're watching the game. There's usually on a given day, if it's a match, match day, then you would have about 100,000 to 150,000 people in the FIFA Fan Fest right on the beach and spread across the beach.
And how about these screens now? You have 150,000 people. How do they distribute the screens for people to watch the soccer
game? It's just one big screen. It's huge screen. Wow. You could see it from a distance. And right at halftime, when Belgium was playing against Argentina, and the Argentinians, of course, they crossed the border into Brazil.
Mm-hmm. Legally and or illegally?
Mainly legally. Actually, they kept most of the Argentinian fans who have a history of hooliganism. Uh-huh. So they kept them offshore. They didn't get an entry visa. But the Argentinians, boy, do they know how to get behind the team. Let me just show you, and your listeners could also listen to it. This is Copacabana Beach, Argentina playing against
Belgium.
Halftime, and this is what goes on. They're splashing the water on Copacabana Beach, and you could see the water rising all across Copacabana Beach, and they're comparing Pele to Maradona. They're saying that Argentina has won more trophies under Maradona than Brazil ever did with Pele. Okay. Some of it, factually, may not be true, but listen to it. Water going up in the air. It's amazing. It's one of my favorite sports happenings in Brazil.
I guess this will be running into your mind for the entire rest of your life, right? We won't
I don't think
this.
I'll ever forget it, especially when I swam inside and I was looking offshore and people were just, you know, jumping and the Brazilians, of course, Brazilians don't like Argentinians.
No, so they were very relieved when they lost to the finals for Germany.
They were supporting Germany. I was wearing a Lionel Messi jersey in South America and I was hated.
Well, of course.
You're like, what is going on?
They have songs each region in Brazil, from the north to the east, northeast, south, west. They have songs, hate songs for Argentina.
Really?
They call them Argentina. And wow. they have songs, head songs. So, in any case,
do they say in the songs? I want to know a little bit. I mean,
some of the things that they say is, Pele is better than Maradona, mm-hmm. which I think is true. And Argentina, of course, some of the things I cannot say on the radio because it's really hateful insulting.
Can you sugarcoat some of this good stuff
to Argentinians?
Okay, I get it now.
So,
yeah, that one you can't. That one you can say over here.
You can say over here. Put your flags up in the sky, juggle on the wall. And we're on Saturday. Flags are loud.
This is Let's Talk, and we're discussing World Cup 2014 in Brazil. Back to you, Fox, in studio.
Bello, you had your fan as well. What were you rooting? What team did you think was your best team? Apart from you.
He's
I know
from Nigeria.
I know
from
Super
Nigeria, Eagles.
But you never know.
Well, good question. I wasn't rooting for any team. I did not set myself up for any disappointment.
Oh, okay.
I expected the Germans and the French to do very well. But, you know, what really stood out for me in this World Cup is Cameroon, which has been a very good team for a long, long time.
Yeah.
They really, really crashed.
Oh, yes.
And what just hit me was the reaction of their fans back in Cameroon.
Mm.
I was listening to some of them and they were saying, we don't want them to come back.
Really?
They should stay there forever. And if they come here, we're going to beat the crap out of them.
Wow.
I was shocked. I was like, wow. You
here?
Guys feel this way?
Is that serious?
Is it that serious? And then when their planes arrived,
uh-huh.
there were only journalists and soldiers.
Really?
Yes. To get the team out from the airport
right.
and kind of securely take him away, and that just
Cameroon
says
shouldn't have been in the World
African.
Cup in the first place.
that says Africa
qualified, Henrik. Why do you say
because,
that?
Well, I mean, you know how they qualified.
Yeah, I know.
They qualified because Kev Verde fielded a player that had a yellow card,
exactly.
And it wasn't a team that was ready. I think it was an embarrassment for African football. But yes, it doesn't warrant the kind of threats that they received.
Well,
but you know, Cameroonians and Africans at large do have the right to be quite unhappy with the performance of the Cameroonian team, which I think is the worst team in the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
However, I was very, very proud of the Super Eagles. Your country, Bello.
I don't want to talk about the Super Eagles now.
They played well. What? I was very happy about them. Algeria playing against Germany, that was a moment of pride for Africa. I was very happy to be rooting for these two African teams. There were teams that underplayed, like Cote d'Ivoire, players that underplayed. I'm not going to call names saying Yaya Toure, but...
Well, you just
expect a lot from them.
For me, a great contrast, just listening to your experience in Brazil and, you know, the spirit and, you know, all the happiness and the craziness going on. And, you know, just seeing how football and the fans and people are all mixed together and how that all can be a community. When you compare that to just the atmosphere of Cameroon when those players got back, what is in the airport, journalists and soldiers, you know, it just says Africa right there. All the conflicts that we, you know, see in the news and all the troubles that we talk about all the time, you know, there's always just this hair raising going on in Africa, and that's just what that says, you know.
But well, something, I mean, maybe something needs to be done in Africa, but we'll talk about that later. This is Let's Talk, where we take a lighthearted look at everyday issues of importance to you. I'm your host, Sunday Shomari, in Washington with Henok Fente, Doris Waweru, and Bello Galadanchi. Right now, we're discussing the World Cup 2014 in Brazil. Well, back to you, Fox. What will be the takeaway for the 2014 World Cup? I'm sure there were so many events that we never expected to see that most of us we will remember. To you, Bello. To you, Henok Fente. What would you take with you home? And say this is like something I would never forget for the 2014 World Cup.
Oh, so many things.
Sure.
But let me just start. Bello, by the way, there's a stadium that's named after you in Brazil. Belo Horizonte.
Oh. What does that mean?
No, it's a name of a
town. I
think
it might be
Belo
Horizonte.
Belo Horizonte.
It might be Belo Horizonte. But you know what? I'll take that. I'll buy that. I'll take it. I want it.
What's your
Belo
name?
Belo Horizonte.
Belo Horizonte in Portuguese.
Okay, that works too.
Tease che.
The 20 World Cup tournaments have been won by 8 different national teams. Brazil have won 5 times, and they are the only team to have played in every tournament. The other World Cup winners are Italy and Germany, with 4 titles each, Argentina and inaugural winners Uruguay, with 2 titles each, England, France and Spain, 1 title each. Now, in this year's tournament, who knew Brazil would be out in such a fashion? For those of you just joining us, this is Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service. The World Cup is the most widely viewed and followed sporting event in the world. And according to CNN, the first round of group matches have shattered TV viewing records worldwide and highlighted an increase in the amount of people watching football in countries that aren't known for their ardent fanaticism. FIFA said nearly 34 million people turned into Brazilian TV for the opening game of the World Cup. And I want to know why this year's records have been shattered. I spoke to my colleague Tef Tef about this.
I mean, to begin with, and I think this is what really stuck with a lot of people, the group stages. I think they were the best group stages that I can remember in my short memory.
In my short memory.
Okay. 132 goals in the first round alone.
It was unbelievable,
that,
right?
That was a record, I think, since, I mean, in the past maybe five World Cups or so.
Yeah.
And eventually, in the end, it tied the 98 World Cup with the most goals. So, you know, who doesn't love goals, you know? But at the same time, another thing that I really noticed is, I think it was the beginning of the German rule, I think, you know.
German rule,
yes,
German
the
soccer.
Spanish are out, and now the Germans are in.
In.
Exactly,
right,
exactly.
Right.
So that was a good surprise to see.
I can see that. Mm-hmm. Very good surprise to see. At the same time, you could see some flying goals. Van Persie fly.
Oof, man, the Flying Dutchman.
You came with the record of a Flying Dutchman,
the
right?
Flying Dutchman.
Oh, my goodness.
By the way, did you know that there was a Dutch company who actually had told the Dutch players that if they won the World Cup, they would take them to space?
Yes, I heard that.
And they're saying that would have been a real Flying Dutchman.
I know.
Unfortunate.
Unfortunately, it didn't happen for them.
It didn't happen.
I know. And can you imagine some of these big players and big teams that you were expecting maybe they could go to the next level, and then they couldn't go? How was that to you, man?
It was, I mean, again, not a big fan of Italy or England.
Or Spain.
Or Spain, yes, absolutely. Okay. Because Spain was so dominant in the past few years.
Right.
As, you know, I think people were waiting for something new. And it came from the Germans. They worked at a team, and their style is, it's almost the opposite of Brazil. So it was good to see these big teams. I mean, Germany's a big team, but it's good to see a team that's been building for the past 10 years deliver. And then other teams that have been so inconsistent, like, you know, Italy and England, be out early, which is, you know, it gives the underdogs a better chance. And the underdogs delivered. Costa Rica, Colombia,
Chile. For Costa Rica and Chile.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Yeah. And again, they came out at the expense. Somebody said, you know, when England and Uruguay ended up in the same group as Costa Rica, people were saying, oh, Costa Rica ended up with England and Uruguay. Best opposite, England and Uruguay ended up with Costa Rica.
I know,
and
right?
they won all their games, and they cruised through.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable how they did this, man. But things
absolutely
came a whole different level this
absolutely
year. And you could see even celebrities all over the world going to the World Cup. You could see LeBron James all the way
absolutely
from the U.S.
Absolutely. I think it was a big commercial success.
You could see presidents over there, man. I mean,
it was the cool thing to do. It was the cool thing to do. I don't think she left the country, did she?
I don't know.
She was there from the opening game to the closing.
Because the Germans were winning all over the place, man.
Absolutely, man.
I know.
I wouldn't leave either. I wouldn't leave either.
No. And the Copacabana Beach now on the other end. Mm. This place was just beautiful and just party, party, party.
It was beautiful on camera. It was beautiful on camera. I can only imagine how good it was in
to see
person.
It live.
My God. I think our colleague,
Henok had a great time.
The trip of his life.
He has a memory that he won't forget for quite some time.
Absolutely.
I know.
Absolutely.
And tell me, Tef Tef, with this World Cup being so huge, and as we heard, it was the most watched. It was like the greatest trending on all networks.
Absolutely, yes.
On
Twitter,
Facebook, it was all over. Blowed.
Shut it down.
This thing blowed up big time.
Absolutely. I mean,
why this? Why this at this time?
I think it has a lot to do with, number one, with, you know, the World Cup happens every 4 years.
Okay.
And in the past 4 years, everything, I mean, when you look at social media, they've all, you know, moved on to the next level of what they are. You know, I think 4 years ago, I'm not saying social media was new, but it was still fairly, you know, people were trying to analyze what it does. You know, Twitter, Facebook, they were making money off it like that. You know, they were not, you know, commercializing it and doing what they were supposed to do. But now that it's matured and it comes right at the time the World Cup came, I think that match just completely made it explosive. You know, people are now know how to turn to Twitter when there's a live event. Same with Facebook. They comment, they share their opinions. And so I think the networks are mature now, so they're supporting. The World Cup just happens to be an event that landed on top of
that.
It's
the right time.
And it just, you know.
Thank you, Tef Tef. And a reminder, tonight on Let's Talk, we are discussing World Cup 2014 in Brazil. This is your turn, all our listeners out there. It is time to give us your input.
My name is Manawa Tony, and I am from Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, by way of a lot of different places. This was kind of a rematch of a game that happened at the last World Cup, and Ghana ended up beating the U.S., so this is definitely the game to watch, I think, of all of the games that occurred this World Cup. So I think people were really intense. People were really on edge. I think the end result, to me, was a little bit disappointing on Ghana's part, because we were all really rooting for them. Although at the end of the day, it's just a game. We can't put too much pressure on them. But everybody was really excited, really kind of gung-ho about it. And so it was a bit disappointing that they lost. But it is what it is. I mean, World Cup, regardless, the World Cup is just a game. It's like any other game. And so it's not really doing anything for us in the world. It's so, it is what it is. I mean, it was a game. It happened. But It was a little bit intense. It was a little intense. That's all I can say from what my experience was. It was one of the few games that I watched this World Cup, and I wish there would have been a different outcome.
Thank you, listeners. This is Let's Talk, and we're talking about the World Cup 2014 in Brazil. It's time now for the unusual story of the week. A Brazilian man whose parents were African slaves could be the oldest living human being ever documented after receiving a birth certificate showing he turned 126 years old recently. José Aguinaldo Santos was born on July 7, 1888, just 2 months after slavery was abolished in Brazil. Yet the bachelor, who never married or had children, still walks without a stick, eats 4 meals a day, and has no health problems, despite smoking a packet of cigarettes a day for the last 50 years. According to the Mirror in UK, José, simply known as Zé, was 26 years old when World War I broke out, and already a pensioner at 65 years when Queen Elizabeth II ascended to the British throne. He was 52 years old when Brazil football legend Pelé was born, and 62 when Brazil hosted the World Cup in 1950. And experts hoped to confirm his age through carbon-14 dating, even though it costs around £13,000. But they hope they don't have to pay for that. The world is full of surprises. And that's it for our show on World Cup 2014 in Brazil. A big thank you to my guests, Denzel Musumba from Kenya and Taf Taf from Ethiopia. And of course, a big thank you to my colleagues, Henok Fente and Belo Galadanchi, and our intern, Doris Waweru, here in the studio. Jackson Mvunganyi is our producer. Please send in your comments and experiences. Our email address is letstalk@voanews.com. You can always call us here at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942, and leave us a message. Thanks for tuning in, and join us again next Monday at 1730 UTC for another exciting edition of Let's Talk. Our topic next week, workplace relations. Don't forget to tune in Tuesdays for another discussion program, Health Chat. Host Lino Madu and her guest physician discuss a health issue of interest to you. That's Health Chat, Tuesdays at 17:30 UTC, right here on the Africa service of the Voice of America. From Washington, this is Sunday Shomari. See you next Monday. Ciao.
The best footballers must have dedication and teamwork. And to end malaria, we need this same unity. Malaria stops footballers from scoring.